Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
To believe that LGBTQ people deserve to be massacred and that they are less than in this society. And he wasn't just hearing these messages from a faraway terrorist organization. He was hearing it from politicians and from radical anti-LGBTQ extremists right here in our own country. Every time we hear a preacher that spews hate from the pulpit, every time a county clerk says that acknowledging our relationships violates her religious beliefs, it sends a signal that LGBT people should be treated differently and that we are less than.
That's Chad Griffin, president of the Human Rights Campaign. A long list of people to blame for the Orlando shootings, although as far as I can tell, there was only one person pulling the trigger, and his motivation seems pretty clear. He didn't say anything prior to his great crime there about where he was getting his messages. And the messages I hear coming from Christian pulpits are not those of homophobia, but of repentance for all sinners, including, yes, those who are beset by the sin of homosexuality, as for all sinners, not hate, but in fact a call to repentance, and certainly not a call to massacre them in mass. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 14th of June. We're going to be talking about the Orlando attack and real homophobia as an example of real, true, bona fide homophobia. A little bit later on this Tuesday afternoon, a forthcoming Supreme Court decision on a Texas abortion law. Clark Forsyth of Americans United for Life will be our guest and will teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Peter and John healing a lame man in Acts chapter 3. In the course of this hour, you can join us with your questions or comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Orlando attack as an example of real homophobia, Daniel Payne. He's senior contributor at The Federalist and author of a recent column titled "The Orlando Attack is What Actual Homophobia Looks Like." Daniel, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
What has this term, homophobia, done to public discourse on the issues surrounding the LGBTQ movement?
What it has done, I think, is really kind of cheapen the entire debate, because it's a word and a term and a sort of idea that has just basically been applied to anybody who is not 100% on board with every sort of bullet point of the gay activist agenda. So, for instance, if you have some hesitation or outright opposition towards redefining marriage to include same-sex couples, most of the time there's not an effort to engage in your argument in any good faith. People will just paint you as a homophobe, somebody who's irrationally afraid of gay people for no reason. So it really has just kind of narrowed and shriveled the bounds of discourse to the point where we really can't have an intelligent conversation around those issues.
So when it's tossed out there, you say that it is a tactic of shame. What do you mean by that?
There are plenty of people, most people, I would say, the vast majority, who they would argue against redefining marriage. They want it to remain an institution between a man and a woman. But if they argue that and they're accused of being a bigot, accused of being afraid of gays and even displaying hatred to gays, then they're going to feel bad about it. It's a word and it's a tactic that's used to touch people's honest and understandable emotions and make them feel guilty for holding certain conservative opinions, in which case they're going to shut up and stop arguing about it. And that's the whole point of the kind of shame tactic.
Let's talk about the Orlando shooting. You say that this is what real homophobia actually looks like. Make your case.
Yeah, so like I said, the normal accusations of homophobia are, you know, well, if you think that maybe children are best raised in the home with their biological mother and father, and that the ideal structure of marriage should not include same-sex couples, you're accused of being a homophobe. Well, in Orlando, we actually see what real homophobia looks like, and it looks like a profound hatred of gays to the point where you're so disgusted by them and afraid of them that you have to go into a nightclub and slaughter as many of them as you can. Now, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that if you know, homophobia can't encompass things other than killing a bunch of gay people. But it does mean that we really have to realign our perspective on this concept to see that what homophobia really does mean is irrational and, you know, vile prejudice and hatred of gays. Orlando was one example of that, and support of traditional marriage is not.
The problem with the homophobia tactic, sounds like you're saying, is not that it lacks nuance. It certainly lacks nuance. It lacks any distinction, really, between those who have a principled concern about the redefinition of marriage, for instance, or homosexuality as a cultural phenomenon, for instance, and those who would just pick up all their guns and kill people at will. A complete lack of distinction. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I mean, we lose sight of the difference between, you know, the Catholic Church's position on gay marriage and ISIS's position on homosexuality. When we blur the line between those positions, we absolutely risk, you know, we put ourselves at risk for more events like Orlando, because we can't draw a meaningful distinction on the basis of this kind of cultural force. We can't draw a meaningful distinction between thinking that the ancient institution of marriage is between a man and a woman and throwing gays off of buildings. And when those lines are blurred, the end result is just going to be terrible.
An example, I was watching the local news here in the St. Louis area attempting to cover the Orlando shootings. And of course, they went, as they should have as local journalists, to a local LGBTQ activist. And the activist spoke not of Islam, the perpetrator, or even the particulars of the Orlando shooting, but spoke of a RFRA law in the area, the Restoration of Religious Freedom law, saying that that law contains hateful speech that leads to this kind of violence.
Yeah, the backlash against conservatives and Christians for this shooting has been one of the most absurd public spectacles in the United States of, you know, of the past 50 years almost, that a young Muslim man who pledged allegiance to ISIS before he carried out his attack went in and killed a bunch of gay people and had demonstrable anti-gay sentiment, according to his family. And the approach taken by many people in the media and activist communities has not been to blame ISIS. It's not been to blame Islamic theology. It's to blame religious freedom restoration laws. It's been to blame conservatives and Christians who think that people shouldn't be forced to, bake a cake for a gay wedding if they have religious objections. They have turned away from the extremely and explicitly clear source of this slaughter and pinned it on something that has absolutely nothing to do with it. And they're running with this, and there's very few people, unfortunately, at least in the mainstream media, that are challenging this ridiculous assertion.
The implicit argument seems to be that the real root problem that leads to Orlando is too much religious freedom. How do you respond to it?
I respond by saying that's a clever tactic if you do want to proscribe religious freedom. And again, this kind of goes back to the whole thing where they throw homophobia around whenever they get the chance. Going forward, what a lot of folks wish to do is make the issue of religious freedom kind of a closed book. Every time an issue of religious freedom comes up, even more so than it was before, every time a RFRA law is brought up or some religious protection is advocated, a lot of people are going to be pointing to Orlando and saying, look, this is what happens when we try and pass these religious laws. You lead to this kind of slaughter. It's a really actually pretty brilliant tactic because it really plays on people's emotions. It makes them scared. It makes them feel upset. It's an intellectually and morally bankrupt tactic as well, but they're going to go ahead with it anyway, I think.
But you say it has an obvious political, if deeply cynical, political advantage. What's that?
Just that it's going to make efforts to pass religious freedom laws and to strengthen religious liberty in this country. It's going to make those efforts a lot more difficult. The media is going to be even more against them. They're probably going to report on them even more unfairly than they have in the past. People are going to be able to have, you know, to wave, quote unquote, a bloody shirt over this. That this terrible tragedy, which doesn't have anything to do with religious freedom laws or, you know, conscientious protections for florists and bakers, this tragedy is going to be used to combat those things. And I want to say, I don't like to be a cynic, but I want to say that it's probably going to be pretty effective, that people are going to line up behind efforts to oppose religious freedom laws and that they're going to be using Orlando as a kind of cudgel.
The tragic irony here is that just in terms of public policy, this kind of approach to it that you've described here pretty much makes it impossible to get at the real root of the cultural, religious, and social causes of incidents like Orlando, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, what we're focusing on right now is the fact that some elderly baker in Wisconsin or Indiana or Colorado doesn't want to bake a cake for a particular ceremony. We are drawing our attention away from the really significant problems of violence that we see in Islamic theology, with the serious problems of genuine homophobia and hatred of homosexuals that you find throughout much of the Muslim world. We draw our attention away from that, and we look at the lady who doesn't want to make a floral arrangement for two gay men, and we, you know, it's kind of a dual effect. We squash religious liberty, and we also allow this very terrible cultural and religious force to continue unabated.
Finally, what are your thoughts on the future of religious liberty? It is written not only into our Constitution, but it kind of leads off the Bill of Rights and seems to have a place of primacy there that would imply that it's fundamental. What are your thoughts about the future of religious liberty and, in fact, then the Bill of Rights in a larger sense, given these events?
You know, I have a lot of faith in God, and I have a lot of faith that there's plenty of really, really good people that are ready and willing to fight for religious liberty and all of the other core constitutional liberties that are guaranteed us as Americans. That being said, these things aren't set in stone. Religious freedom, religious liberty, all the other, you know, First Amendment and Second Amendment protections, all those things, they're not just always going to be there. They have to be fought for. And if somebody else is really, really willing and determined to roll those liberties back, there's no guarantee that we're always going to be able to keep them. So I want to say that I'm partly optimistic for the future of religious liberty and other liberties in this country, but it is going to take a lot of work and a lot of vigilance. So we have to be prepared for that.
Daniel Payne is senior contributor at The Federalist, author of a recent column titled "The Orlando Attack is What Actual Homophobia Looks Like." We'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Daniel, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a forthcoming Supreme Court decision on a Texas abortion law. Clark Forsythe of Americans United for Life will be our guest.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.